Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation.
The hope of all the ends of the earth, and of our harvest seeds.
You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water.
You provide your rain, for so you do not prepare it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges,
softening it with showers and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty.
Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow.
The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain.
They shout and sing together for joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation.
The hope of all the ends of the earth, and of the harvest seeds.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 13. I'll summarize and reread a portion of it. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. Other seeds fell among thorns, and other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is our text. I want to say to begin with that it's good to be home. It's nice to be here. I know that while we had our whirlwind, wonderful 3-week family vacation, that you were well fed and faithfully served by Pastor Lane and Pastor Barsoja. I'm so thankful that they could be here while I was away. And I want to add that I'm also thankful for our congregational elders, Ed Schaefer, Dave Farabaugh, and Paul Dwiggins, who helped our Sundays go smoothly, and of course to Sue Morell, who holds the fort down even when I am here. And of course, it's a joy to see you because I know that so many of you over the last 3 weeks have been serving and loving and doing what our Lord would have you do in your daily lives and here at church. Our family vacation took us to 4 different congregations in the last 3 weeks, 4 sister churches of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We were the first Sunday at Royal Redeemer in Liberty Township, Ohio, just outside Cincinnati. That week, on Wednesday, we were at Calvary in Watseka, Illinois, right in the middle of farmland. The second Sunday, we were at Emmanuel Lutheran in Leland, Michigan, where I was a member for 27 years. And then the last Sunday at St. Paul's in Hillsdale, Michigan, where I attended during college. I mention this not only to give you a sense of where we've been and what we were doing and where we heard God's word, but to tell you this. God's word is being sown. It is being sown in places far and wide. It is being sown in cities, city suburbs, and small towns and college communities around our nation. I know sometimes in New England we feel a bit alone. Sometimes we wonder if we might be the only ones left. A little bit like Elijah, who thought he was the last remaining prophet. But you're not. There are many who hear the word Sunday after Sunday, many among whom Christ casts the seed. And it was a joy to hear that word read, preached, prayed, confessed, and sung. It was a delight to see that word at work, doing its work in holy baptism. And it was a gift to receive that word in the sacrament of the altar, just as you were doing here. In our gospel reading, we heard about how crowds were gathering to see Jesus. So many people gathering that he ended up getting in a boat and going out into the lake so that he had a better platform, pulpit, and podium from which to speak. Our Lord taught people using all sorts of things in all sorts of ways, but including in those little stories that we know as parables, like the one that we heard today. The parable about a sower with a bag full of seed who went out to sow. It's a striking image. I think the bulletin cover captures it nicely. A farmer who's out scattering seed, always scattering seed to the left and to the right and everywhere. I picture him almost like a little boy with a dollar in his pocket. It's just burning a hole. He's got to get rid of it. He's got to spend it. He's got to sow it. He can't keep it hidden away. And this is what the sower is like. He will not keep the seed to himself, but he will send it forth to do its work. Now, of course, there is the disturbing part of this parable. Some of the seed falls on the path. Some of it lands among the rocks. Some of it grows in the midst of weeds. And that's the reality. It doesn't all take root. And what takes root doesn't all grow. And what grows doesn't all bear fruit. We've seen it happen. Our hearts have broken. How many times
as we watch God's word be spread, but then nothing seems to come. It doesn't do what we want it to do. It doesn't seem to bear any fruit in the lives of others, in the world around us, sometimes in our own lives as well. And yet this is what I find so encouraging about this parable. Although the first three situations that it describes are not situations that end up with an abundance of fruit, yet there's that fourth description. There's the good soil on which the seed lands and bears abundantly. And the fact is, that's where the parable ends, with the sower sowing and sowing and sowing, making his word known, casting the seed forth wherever and whenever he can. He just keeps doing it. He doesn't get discouraged in the way that you or I might when we have to plant something for the umpteenth time, perhaps because it's been rained out yet again. Our Lord doesn't become discouraged, and he doesn't give up, and he doesn't think that it's fruitless or worthless to do it, to plant his word in you and even among others in our world. The kingdom of heaven comes. Our Lord establishes his reign, and he does it on earth in the hearts of believers. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to proclaim. He came to plant. He came to reveal. He came to make known. What? Not simply some key to happiness. Not some secret to your best life. Not the mystery of the universe by which you can unlock everything that's hidden. No, he came to make himself known. He came so that you and I and other beloved sinners might kneel to him and receive from him life and salvation. You see, Jesus himself is the sower of the seed. He's the one who teaches. He's the one who preaches God's kingdom. He's the one who speaks, and he speaks about himself, about his cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. And then, because he can't get everywhere that he wants to go in his earthly ministry, he sends others. First the 12, then the 72, and later the church just keeps sending and sowing after Pentecost, so that the word of God goes forth. In fact, it says in Acts 12, verse 21, the word of God increased and multiplied. Sometimes that seed got scattered because of persecution. Sometimes a door opened in a completely new and unexpected place. Sometimes the person you never expected to believe, Saul of Tarsus, is struck by lightning from heaven and believes what Christ has said. The word of the Lord spreads and it grows and it does bear fruit. This is the promise he gives, from then even until this day. Not every seed brings forth that fruit. And the problem, of course, isn't with the seed at all. It isn't that God's word is inert or ineffective. The problem is with the soil. Some falls on the hard paths. Some falls on the New England rock. You know how little grows on top of Monadnock, don't you? Some falls among the weeds. Boy, don't we know about weeds right now? Those are growing like crazy. But why are we surprised? If he waited to plant seed until he found the perfect soil, how much seed would get planted? No one is righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If it depended on us being ready and prepared, then what good would that seed do? It looks ineffective. It seems like a bad strategy. No farmer would do this, but he does it. Why? Because he wants to get the seed out there. He wants the word to be heard. And he knows that though some may not believe, many will. Though not every plant will bear fruit, it will bring forth grain in abundance, 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. He's not stingy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, and so it was that the Father sowed his perfect seed on earth, on earth amidst the curse and the hard paths and the rocky ground and even among the thorns and the thistles. And it's true he wasn't received well. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was rejected by the chief priests, by the scribes and Pharisees. He was mocked by Herod, condemned by Pontius Pilate. They laughed at the seed when God sowed it on earth. They spit on it. They struck and whipped and abused it. They made him walk the hard path to Golgotha. They put those thorns on his head. They drove spikes into his hands and feet. They crucified the seed. And then they threw it in the ground, and they covered it with a stone, and they declared it dead. They said it would bear nothing ever again. What could possibly grow from that? You know how it went. All you have to do is check back on the third day. First day, nothing. Second day, nothing. But on the third day, the stone is gone. The hole where they laid the seed is empty. The thorns and the spikes have been cast aside. He rose from the dead, right out of the ground. He rose with life. He rose with seed that is imperishable. He rose with a word that endures forever. You know, the scriptures describe man in his fallen state as grass that withers and flowers that fade, here today and gone tomorrow. But the scriptures make clear there is something that endures. The word of the Lord endures forever. And so the Father sent his Son, didn't hold back, but sent his only begotten Son. And the Son didn't hold back, but he made himself known, even when he would be rejected, again and again and again, right up to the cross. And then when he rose from the dead, he kept on giving himself. He declared that he was the Savior of the world and the Savior that you need. His goal was for the seed to get out there, always to get out there, with the confidence that the seed will find good soil and bear much fruit. Now, I don't know how you hear this, but I'll tell you how I hear it. When I hear the parable of the sower and the seed and the four kinds of soil, it affects me deeply. It's not only the discouragement of hearing about the hard path and the rocks and the weeds, but it's also wondering whether that's me. How many times has God's word come into my ears and I failed to understand? The devil has snatched it away. How many times have I received that word with joy and it sprung up only to be snuffed out by some trial or difficulty? How many times has it grown but not produced fruit because of the cares and anxieties of this world? What if that's me? And I'll tell you right now, what if that's me, or what if it's you? So what? Because you know what the sower does? It probably has been you and me, probably is at times, and yet he continues to sow his word. He hasn't given up. He hasn't stopped. If there's one thing you take from all of the rain that we've had, which I know is a bit more than we need at the present moment, it is this. God's word is like a rain shower, and he hasn't stopped yet. Not to flood us out, but to give us life with him. So the sower didn't stop sowing, and the seed didn't stop going forth and doing what seed does. And the failure doesn't prevent some seed from growing up and bearing a crop. No, it says it produces 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. And that's why we're here. We pray that God would make that true in our lives. And if we haven't seen it yet, we pray that his word would continue to have its way with us, that he might bring good fruit in and through us. And so let us have confidence today as we gather and hear this parable, the confidence that looks not to ourselves, but at the one whose word it is. He is faithful. If he spoke the whole world into being by his word, if he can drive off demons, release fevers, still storms, and raise the dead with a simple command, if he can say that your sins are forgiven so that they really are, if he can declare that you'll be with him in paradise and make it happen, if he can do all that, then why not have confidence in his word, in the seed that he sows into our lives and into the lives of others? As we heard from the prophet Isaiah, God said that his word is like the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven and does not return until it has accomplished its purposes. It does not return empty or void. So shall my word be that comes from my mouth. It does what he wants it to do. It accomplishes his purposes in and through us. And it grows a harvest for God, a harvest of souls and good works and good fruits. It does all this. So take heart, despite what you might see in the world around you, what you might feel in yourself at times. Be confident and not apathetic. Don't treat God's word, whether you hear it here at church, whether you speak it with your own mouth, whether you read it in your morning devotions, don't treat God's word as something lifeless or without power. Holy Scripture has been written for our learning. It has been written so that we may know the salvation of our God. So hear it, read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it. And by doing so, what St. Paul said will take place. The Holy Spirit will dwell in us like a seed that's been planted. He dwells in us so that we live not according to the flesh, not in the old way of life that we used to follow, but so that we would put to death the deeds of the body. We've been adopted as sons of God. We are heirs of God and we are co-heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. This is the confidence we have, not in ourselves, but in Christ and his promises and his good seed. It says in Proverbs chapter 14, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Our confidence is in our God and in his word, which is powerful. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in him. And we, as Christians of all people, ought to have this confidence because we know the one who died and who rose again, who ascended on high, who rules and reigns in heaven, and who will come again in glory. Let your confidence be in him. And he who supplies you with seed will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and he will increase your harvest of righteousness. The word of the Lord stands forever, and it grows an abundant crop. And so we go forth as captives who have been freed. We go forth with joy and confidence in our Lord. We know that his word will do what he says. It will save souls. The church will grow, and all the credit will go to our God and his word, though he may even use us. Our Lord's word has and is able to do all that God is and can do. And so we hold it sacred. We gladly hear and learn it. And by God's word, we learn to call out to our Father, saying, "Abba, Father," with the confidence of beloved children who know where our inheritance is and who believe what God promises and gives and does in his word. A sower went out to sow, and some fell on good soil and produced grain, 100-fold, 60-fold, and even 30. This is what we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father of mercy, our sins have deserved briars and thorns, and they yield only trouble and strife. Forgive our transgressions and discipline us against temptation, that we may rejoice in your name and the promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you send forth your word as abundantly as rain upon the earth. Grant that we would never take for granted your generosity, but would seek the help and refreshment of your word in every circumstance. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, continue to sow your word through the fields of the earth. Bless pastors and missionaries as they proclaim your truth. Prepare the hearts of all who hear to believe and yield abundant fruit. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless parents with faithfulness as they plant your word into their children, that they may grow steadfast among the cares and troubles of this world. Grant your special care to all expectant mothers and their little ones, including Rachel, Abby, Emma, and Rachel. Lord, in your mercy. Creator of heaven and earth, by your word you send forth rain and snow to make the world bring forth and sprout. Give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Provide us seasonable weather and bountiful harvest, that we may enjoy daily bread and praise your name. Be with all whose lives have been affected by flooding, especially for our brothers and sisters at Williamstown. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, look with mercy upon those who suffer from illness of body or mind. Be with Tommy, Ted, Brian, Rob, Betty, Jared, Michael, Kristen, Sharon and Mike, Diane, Donna, Amara, Marilyn, Al, Ann, Judy, and Robert and Ruth. Give them healing, comfort them with your presence, grant them patience to endure suffering, and assure them at all times that they are your dear children and that the glory of Christ awaits them. Bring all who mourn to faith and peace in Jesus Christ, especially Gail and those who sorrow at the death of Joe Russo, and grant your comfort and peace in the midst of things that are so difficult to understand, to Kertu's friend, and all who mourn the deaths in Georgia. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, you have made us your holy children and freed us from bondage to the flesh. Sustain us in repentance and faith, that we may receive Christ's body and blood for life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Spirit calls us by the gospel to the new life of faith. We praise you and acknowledge you as our Lord. Deliver us from the devil's temptations, that we may live under you and serve you in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave,
and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 65. Blessed is the one you choose, and bring near to dwell in your courts. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you hear prayer, and you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against you, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple, by the awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with the might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that you, who dwell at the ends of the earth, are in awe of your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.